Morning, church family, on Sunday the 16th of August. I hope you're all well. We give thanks and we worship God because we know that we're saved by God's love and grace for us in Jesus, who came down to this sinful earth among this fallen creation and lived a perfectly obedient life to God the Father. And it was an atoning sacrifice for us, taking on our sin upon his cross, and was raised to life 3 days later. And we worship God and give thanks that we share in that resurrection life of our Lord and our Saviour Jesus. Have a wonderful service this morning worshiping God. Mark will be sharing with us from Genesis 18, following the footsteps of Abraham. But right now we have a couple of clips for us from the wider church family. Mary's going to be sharing.
Hi everyone. I just wanted to give you all an update on Restore, which for those of you who don't know is our healing prayer space to assist people to encounter God and receive from him. We take time to listen and then to pray for people, and it's for anyone who is looking for God in life's challenges or difficulties. And I know that for some of you, the last few months in lockdown have been quite challenging. And if you just want the team to pray for you, we're also available to do this. Having done a risk assessment in consultation with the enabling team and having put certain measures in place, like face masks, as these are required to be worn in the church, hand sanitizer and social distancing, we are now able to restart this ministry on Tuesday, 1st of September. So if you would like someone to chat to or to receive prayer, then Restore takes place on alternate Tuesday afternoons between 1 and 3 and Thursday evenings 7:30 to 9 in the main church. Information can also be found on the church website. However, the main change that we have made is that for the next few months, you will not be able to just drop into Restore, but you'll need to make an appointment. You can make an appointment by phoning or emailing the church office and speaking to myself. And if you have any queries or require any further information, please do not hesitate to get in touch. Bye.
If anyone wants to share an update with the wider church family, please do send it in to us. They are so encouraging and they really do build up the church. It has been a challenge. It's been difficult not to be able to meet together in person on Sundays in the church and be sharing life together in that way as we normally would have been doing. It's been a challenge, but we do want to respect the governments that God's put in place, as Paul writes in Romans 13, and we want to love our neighbour and be a good witness of God's saving grace into lives of others. God willing, it will not be too long before we are able to meet in person again, in whatever form that might take. Please do keep the staff team, the enabling team, the senior leadership team in your prayers as we work towards that and plan that, and as we move forward in this new pandemic landscape together. If you need help, if you need prayer or support of any kind, do get in touch. Give the office a call. Mary's in Monday to Friday, or you can go onto our website. There's a COVID-19 help banner that you're able to click on and get in touch with us, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. If you want to keep on giving to the church on the website under resources, there's a giving link that you're able to click on and keep doing that. God's word said, ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Let's do that now as we worship together as God's church, scattered in our own homes, but united in our Saviour Jesus, united in the body of Christ, worshipping him, ascribing the glory due to his name. Let's worship together.
Thank you. Father, we come to you. We come to you with our hearts open. Would you listen to the cry of our hearts? Forget us. You'll never fail us. So now as we come to you with open hearts, we ask you to speak through your mighty word. Come and speak, Holy Spirit, to us. We are ready to hear. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
Well, hello everyone. It is great to be back after a time of holiday and bringing God's word to you today. It's also good to hear the story, to hear that Restore is going to be starting back up. And, you know, let me really encourage you, if you would like to receive prayer to go along to Restore. And again, really important that you book in advance before you go. It's great to just have been worshipping God there, and thanks to the Burt family for leading us in worship together. You know, when I think about coming back from holiday, I honestly do believe that rest is a gift from God. And I so enjoyed being away on holiday, and I know it's one of the challenges that we have faced over the last months, because, you know, we like going away, whether it's just for days, and we like meeting and catching up with people. It's one of the ways that we are, many of us are refreshed. And when you think about it, rest is so important to living what we might call a balanced life, where we're busy, where we're doing activities and at our work and things like that, but we were also taking that time to just rest and be refreshed as part of what we might call the rhythm of life. And as we come into God's Word today in Genesis 18, we're going to get a bit of a glimpse of this rhythm. In the first half of the text, Abraham and Sarah, we're going to find them running about, really busy, because three guests come into their camp. But then we'll find Abraham slowing down and standing alone with one of these visitors, engaging in deep and close personal conversation. You know, it's interesting, Abraham is described in the Bible as a friend of God. I think it's Isaiah 41 verse 8, you can read of God speaking to the people of Israel and saying, you know, you descendants of Abraham, my friend. And think for a moment about some of your own friendships. You might phone a friend and say, you know, I'm building a wardrobe, can you come round and help me? And the two of you together are busy all day, working away, trying to build a wardrobe. But then you might also phone a friend and say, look, do you want to come down round and we'll get a pizza and we'll watch a movie, and you're kind of couch potatoes for a couple of hours. You know, both of those activities, one, you know, much busier than the other, both of them grow and deepen the friendship. And that's what we're going to see today, that a growing and deepening relationship with God comes through times of activity where we're busy serving God and doing things, but also comes through times of slowing down and just resting in God's presence. We see this in Jesus' life, don't we? We talk about this often. Times where he's really busy, he's doing ministry, he's doing the will of his Father God. And then there's other times where he withdraws just to sit and be in the presence of his Father God. So in Genesis 18 then, we find Abraham camped near the tree of Mamre. Three men appear. And in Genesis 18, we read these words, the Lord, verse 1, the Lord appeared to Abraham. Who is this referring to? Well, let me just say, here's my understanding. Two of these men are angels that appear. The third, the Lord, is, I believe, Jesus. Now, if you like big words, which, to be honest, I don't, this is referred to as a Christophany. Jesus is appearing before his birth on earth as a baby, growing into a man. And so what I take from this is a very, very significant meeting. And Abraham, if you look in your Bible, if you've not got your Bible, pause me, go and get your Bible, open it in Genesis 18. But Abraham, when he sees them, we read this in verse 2, when he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. You know, straight away, Abraham discerns it. These are no three ordinary dudes that have come into his camp. Reading verses 3 to 5, that he offers them hospitality. Then in verses 6 to 8, things get really busy for Abraham and Sarah. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. Quick, he said, get 3 seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread. That's a lot of bread she's going to be making. Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. Then he brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. You know, we're in a relationship with the living God. When we're in that relationship, we serve him. And we draw close to him as we serve him. And there's a number of things that stand out for me in this first part of Genesis 18 with Abraham and Sarah. First thing is, serving God is deeply personal. Remember, at this point, Abraham's become a very wealthy man. He's got many servants. He could have easily just sat there in the heat of the day and said, you go and do that, and you go and do that. And he could have bossed everyone about. You know, but he gets going. You know, there's a picture here of Sarah and him doing it all, a lot of the work by themselves. And when you become a follower of Jesus, you serve him. And, you know, you might have a job and you might think that job's all about serving your boss. But, you know, Paul gives us some incredibly wise words in Colossians 3:23. He says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for a human master. And you've got to see past your line manager and past your boss and see Jesus and think, you know, I'm working for the Lord. I'm giving my best because I'm working for the Lord. And that's what Abraham and Sarah are doing here. They realize that they might not realize it's Jesus they're serving, but Abraham, you know, he discerns, wow, you know, these are significant people that have come into my camp. And he's working, and he's working hard for the Lord. It's deeply personal. You know, maybe that involves maybe something that you do within the life of the church, some area that you're involved in. You're not doing it for the person who asked you to do it. You're doing it for Jesus. You're working with all of your heart, hard at it, as working for the Lord. So it's deeply personal. When we're serving, we're doing it for Jesus. Secondly, there's an urgency in Abraham and Sarah's response to these guests. Now, let's be honest, churches as organisations, we're not always known as being fast responders. But serving Jesus does require urgency. And we, you know, we are his witnesses into this world. We carry a responsibility that requires a dynamic response. And, you know, I love it. You know, some months ago when we just hit lockdown, I was phoning certain people up and saying, you know, have you spoken to so-and-so? And they were saying, yeah, I've spoken to them, but I've also been taking things round to them. And I just thought, brilliant. That's a dynamic response of serving to a need that has come up. And, you know, Jesus tells us to go into the world and make disciples. And there's an urgency about that in our lives. You know, I was reading in Psalm 76 just this morning where the psalmist says, you know, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory to the nations. And so there's an urgency in our lives, both through word and in action, to be serving God and declaring his salvation to those around us. Thirdly, we see that serving requires effort. Remember, Abraham and Sarah, they're an old couple at this point, by this time. That's a lot of bread that she makes. And Abraham's running about, and, you know, serving Jesus can be demanding at times. You know, we read Paul's closing words to the end, at the end of Romans 16. And a couple of things always stand out for me. And one of them being that he commends those who are working very hard. Interestingly, I'd need to go back and check, but interestingly, off the top of my head, I think most of them are women that he refers to. But serving Jesus, you know, we expend energy and we get tired, but effort for Jesus, I want to say to you today, never goes to waste. And you're going to see this in a moment. But before that, I just want to make a comment about hospitality, because Sarah and Abraham open their arms wide to these three strangers that appear into their camp. And, you know, across East Kilbride right now, we're seeing the message, stay apart. You know, maybe, I mean, I've seen even seen it spray painted on the paths, the picture of a person with the four arrows going out from them, and the message, stay apart. And there's something quite sad when I see that, but also something that's needed at these times. And I was thinking, how do we do hospitality while being told to stay apart? Well, thankfully, staying apart does not mean avoiding each other. And, you know, if you follow the guidelines, there are still ways that we can be hospitable. You know, I know Sunday, you know, many of us are just missing coming together on a Sunday. But, you know, if you follow the guidelines and if you're able to, you can maybe invite some folk to your house. You know, staying apart, socially distancing, but watching the service together. You know, being together and just watching the Sunday service together. You know, maybe inviting someone for a walk or a picnic in your garden. You know, staying apart but not avoiding each other. Still that opportunity for hospitality there. But let me come back to Abraham and Sarah, because I said a minute ago that the effort and the energy that you put into serving Jesus is never wasted. There is incredible blessing in serving Jesus. And the blessing for Abraham and Sarah is that Jesus is with them and reaffirms the promise of God on their life. And one of the things that's really important about Genesis 18 is this is one of the, might only be the only occasion where Sarah hears this directly from God. I think up until this point, it's just been Sarah going to her and probably saying to her, here's what God has said to me about what's going to happen in our lives. But Sarah hears this. Verse 9, where is your wife, Sarah? And Abraham's like that, she's in her tent. Verse 10, I will surely return to you this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah's listening from the tent. And we read in verse 12 that she laughs. And she says, I'm worn out. And my Lord is old. Will I now have this pleasure? You know, I wonder if you've ever laughed at the plans of God for your life. You know, that term worn out refers to old, grubby clothes that there's no use for them anymore. The phrase pleasure refers to a luxury item only available for a few. And Sarah is basically saying, I'm an old shabby woman. And surely this luxury, this privilege is not for me now. She has inward doubt. You know, if Sarah has a set of scales and she's weighing out whether she was going to be able to have a child, on one side, she has got many, many things that would make this impossible. But God adds something to the other side. He adds his promise. You know, verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Then he repeats the promise. I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. You know, God puts his promise on the other side of the scale, and that promise tips the scale. This is going to happen in your life, Sarah. Now, I wonder again if maybe God's speaking something into your life that you're finding hard to believe today. You know, maybe you've lost your job during this pandemic, and God's saying to you, you know, I've got this. You know, there's another job coming, and you're just finding that hard to hold on to just now. You know, maybe you're serving in an area and you're putting out lots and lots of energy and lots of effort, and you're wondering what it's about. Well, never doubt that God can be working. Never doubt that your effort that you're putting out can bring into your life a blessing, and a blessing into others that maybe you just don't understand or see at this point, at this moment. You know, let me be very honest with you at this point. That verse, nothing is too hard for the Lord. I passionately believe that. But There's a tension here for me. There are things I have prayed for that I have, that I know it's not too hard for God, but they haven't happened. And there's things that I've prayed for that have happened, where the possible, where the impossible has become possible. And I'm just like, thank you, God, that is amazing. And over the years, and this might sound quite simple, but it's not been a simple journey. But over the years, I've just learned to trust Him more, to trust Him more, and know that He's wiser than I am. But what I would say about the context of our story here, it is God that is making the promise to Abraham and Sarah. This is not them going to Him and saying, make us into a great nation. This is God's promise into their lives, and God's promises come true. And actually, in times where I have hoped that the impossible would become possible, and it hasn't, it's actually the promises of God, when I look at it, that carry me through. You know, His love will never fail me. His presence is always with me. And there is a future that is amazing, just to quote some of the great promises of God. But there is Abraham and Sarah. They're serving God. There is a blessing in serving. You know, God blesses our life so many ways when we serve Him. Our faith grows, our gifts grow. We see God at work, changing people and changing us, and we draw closer to Him as we are serving Him. But this is really an intense time for Abraham and Sarah. And they're an old couple. And if they kept going like this, they would burn out. But from verse 17 in chapter 18 to the end of the chapter, we kind of see a change in the pace. The eating is over, and Abraham is now walking with the three guests. And the two angels go on ahead, and Abraham and the Lord are alone. And you know, we need to be serving, but there are times where we need to sit and rest and be with the Lord. Interesting dialogue that you'll see in your Bible. The Lord is basically speaking out His thoughts. I wonder if you've ever done that. You know, one of the things that concerns me now about having a dog is that I speak out my thoughts to the dog. You know, I'll be making dinner and I'll say, oh, I wonder, Sky, if I should add a wee bit more hot sauce. And then I realise how stupid that actually is. But at times we speak out our thoughts out loud. And God is speaking His thoughts out loud here about the future of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we're going to touch on Genesis 19, probably one of our Wednesday thoughts in the near future. We'll look at Genesis 19. But let me read to you, though, from verse 22. The men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached Him and said. You know, that phrase approach means to come to the court to argue a case. And Abraham's not going to argue with God, but he's got a point that he wants to bring to God. And you can read about that in the rest of the text. God is going to destroy this city. Abraham intercedes for the righteous in the town, of which, as we read on, only Lot is found. And we'll come back to this later. But here we have a very intimate conversation between Jesus and Abraham. And God is sharing His thoughts with Abraham, and Abraham is sharing His thoughts with the Lord. And there is a slowing down, and there is a talking together. Now, Warren Wiersbe says, blessed are the balanced. And there are times in our lives where it's all go, and there's much effort, and we're just going and going and going, but there also needs to be times where we're slowing down to listen to Jesus. If we're just go, 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 we burn out. But also, if we're just sit, 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 we dry out. The action for God and resting with God go hand in hand. That is the balanced life of follower of Jesus. Now, depending on how we're wired, we find one or other easier. I find action much easier. I've got to be much more disciplined and much more focused and taking that time to sit with Jesus. But both of them grow and deepen our relationship with Jesus. Both are needed. You know, it's in the listening to God that Abraham hears God's plans for his life. And therefore his action and his serving becomes much more focused on what God wants him to be doing. Now, this is a passage that has much in it. I've just drawn out for us today a few points, but please do take time to read through the whole text in your own time and allow God's word to minister into your life. But as we come to close, I want to take you to John 15. John 15, Jesus says this in John 15, verse 15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You know, this is amazing today. If you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, he calls you friend. And any friendship needs to grow and needs to develop. And we've just seen two of the ways that we can grow in our relationship with Jesus today. By serving him. It's deeply, deeply personal. We serve Jesus. There's an urgency to this. It takes effort, but there are incredible blessings in serving Jesus. You know, when we serve, whatever you're doing, just keep saying to yourself, I'm doing it for Jesus. I'm doing it for Jesus. I'm not doing it for the paycheck or anything. I'm doing it for Jesus. Keep him in focus. And then secondly, to develop and grow, it's about sitting with him. You know, in the text, Abraham stood, but he approached Jesus. He approached the Lord to be in his presence, to hear and listen, receive and talk. And we need to be quite deliberate at times in approaching Jesus and sitting with him. Serving and sitting then, two great ways to grow in your faith. Let us pray together. Father God, we want to thank you that we can come into a relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. You know, you refer to us as your friend. And in many ways, just as I say that, I think, you know, we don't deserve that. But that is the wonder of your love for us, that you draw us close to you. And Lord, we just pray and ask that you would just take us deeper in our relationship with you. You know, you've called us into lives of action. You've called us to be people that do things. You've called us to be people that are productive, but you've also called us to sit with you and hear your voice speaking into our lives. Lord, help us to get that balance in each of our lives. Lord, we thank you that when we serve you, it's not wasted time. It is, you know, you bless our life so, so much as we serve you, Father, and we thank you for that. And just pray, Lord, that you would, through your Spirit, just continue to take us and use us for your glory and draw us closer into your presence. And we pray this in Jesus' name. We always want to give time for just God's Spirit to just minister into our lives. And I'll just invite you now just to quieten your heart and just allow this word to speak into your life. Maybe that phrase from Colossians, you know, whatever you do, do it for the Lord. Maybe that's something that you need to reflect on and just think about in your life. But Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come now and minister the truth of this word into each of our lives. You know, as I was preparing this message, God just laid a picture onto my heart, and it was a picture of a spinning top. I don't know if you remember them. You get them and you spin them, and then they bounce about, or they just stay in the one position, going really, really, really fast. And it was a picture of a spinning top. And every time it started to slow down, a hand came in and re-spun it, and so it was going really, really, really fast. And I was asking God, you know, what is this picture about? And I just feel for someone today, you feel your life's a bit like that. It's like the spinning top that keeps going round and round and round. But the hand that's coming in It's actually you. You're keeping your life going at that frantic, super busy pace. And I think God wants to say to you, not in a rebuke today, but actually probably maybe more as an invitation today. You know, God really wants to invite you to come into that deeper place of encounter with Him. Stop, you know, when things start to slow down in your life and God's maybe, you're maybe getting that moment to withdraw and be with God. Don't flick the wheel again. Don't check the emails. Don't, you know, pick up the phone, but actually allow yourself to come into that place of encounter with Jesus. So I just trust that as maybe a word for someone today. The other sort of picture that God gave into my heart was someone trying to make their way across a bog. I don't know if you've ever experienced this in your life. Maybe you've been out walking in the hills and you just, at times you just come across large boggy areas, and to make your way across them is incredibly hard work. You've always got to have your foot to the ground, making sure you're going from one dry clump to the other. It takes a lot of energy to make very slow progress. And again, I was asking God about this picture, and I just felt God was saying to me, you know, there's someone that's where you feel you're at in life. You're just bog, trying to walk across the bog, and God wants to assure you that there's a less difficult path coming ahead, but that He's with you in the bog. And maybe this applies to someone who's lost their job during this time, or just your mental health has become really difficult during this time, and you just feel one day after the other just a trudge and such hard work. He's with you. That's one of God's promises to us. We stand on that. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He is with you in that situation as you're feeling, you know, bogged down. But there is a less difficult path coming ahead. And so I just pray that comes as encouragement to you into your life today. So we're going to worship God together now. Let me really encourage you to just engage in this worship song. I know this might seem a bit strange or a bit artificial. You're sitting at home doing it yourself. But I want to encourage you. You know, Sunday there, I'd watched the NBC, and I was watching later on in the day a church service, and at the end they did something like this. And I was just sitting on my couch with my arms open, and wow, God powerfully just refreshed my soul and just spoke into my life. And I was watching the service, you know, probably 4 hours after it had gone live. But God's Spirit works when we are just there hungry to meet with Him. So let me encourage you to just, you know, open your arms, open to receive, you know, go into a time of worship. And don't rush out of it. Just sit and be still in the presence of God. Let me just pray for us as we come back into worship. Father God, we thank You for how You've been ministering into our lives this morning. And Holy Spirit, we pray that You'd continue to do so. And Lord, I pray particularly for those who are hurting today, those that are bereaved. We think of some of the tragedies we've seen in the news recently, you know, the train coming off the tracks, those that have lost loved ones. Father, minister through, you know, Your peace and Your comfort into those hurting lives. We think of the situation in Lebanon, so many deaths and so much sorrow there, Father God, in Beirut. And we just pray, Lord, that You would just be, you know, we know there's Christians in that setting, that You'd be using them to minister into the hurting lives there just now. Father, we're aware still of the very fragile situation that we are in with the COVID-19. We continue to pray that You would give wisdom to our leaders, Lord. We continue to pray for, we think particularly of our school kids that have gone back and the teachers there. We pray that that would work well and that would not be lead to a spread of this, but our young people would be able to get the education that they so much need. Lord, we praise You. We thank You that through all of this, You're our rock and we stand on You and You're a solid foundation. And we just praise You and we worship You now. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's continue to worship God together as we go back to Al and the family. God bless you this week ahead.
Mm-hmm.
it's so important for us to hear what the Spirit has to say to each of us through our times together. But it's even more important that we respond. So you might want to use this song just to help you to do that. Yeah, Lord, just come, speak to us.
Thank you all so much for joining with us this morning at EMBC, or even if it's not this morning, that you're tuning in, whatever time you're tuning in. And we've got our prayer meeting tonight at 6:30 till 7:30 over Zoom. If you've never joined with that, please do get in touch and we'll be able to send those details to you. And please do join with us if you haven't done before. Everyone is welcome to be built up through prayer at this difficult time. But as we leave from this service, may we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. God bless.